Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it, you're here, you're in the right place if you are ready to dial up your life. Thank you for being here today. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. In honor of Mother's Day this month, our podcast focus is empowering the she, honoring and empowering the she within each of us, honoring you, regardless of where you are in this crazy cycle we call life. Whether you are a mother-to-be, a mother of young children, a mother of pets, a mother of adolescents, an empty nester, or you're in your years of elder grandness, this series is all about tipping our hats to the she and helping you fill your cup of greatness. This is snippets of inspiration where I deliver to you some insights that I want to share. Commonly, this is with a story, parable, quotes, and yes, even some music. Today, I actually have a little exercise for you after a parable that I want to share. So hang in there for the end, and then I might even have a little gift for you as well just before we close out the podcast today. I'm focusing on a multi-level challenge that women encounter in the face of comparison, measuring up, self-confidence, and self-identity. I certainly have experienced this myself, wondering if I'm enough at times. Am I smart enough, fit enough, helpful enough? Am I a good enough friend? Oftentimes, am I a good enough mother, significant other? All of those enoughs, and they get pretty heavy sometimes. I've even gotten lost in the trap of comparing myself to other women around me and wondering if I have it right and they have it wrong, or do they have it right and I have it wrong? If you've ever found yourself in a similar questioning tennis match, listen on as I recite for you the parable of the naked lady. A naked woman sat at the crossroads where the road that went north and south met the road going east and west. People passed her, some were ashamed, some were angry, but most looked upon her with disapproval. Some threw clothes at her, all different types, colors, and sizes. The woman knew she was naked, but did not lift a finger to cover herself. There was a woman in a golden gown who stopped her journey and went to the naked woman, saying, "Here, take my dress. See how beautiful it is, a golden brashad covered with pearls and diamonds." She took off the garment and handed it to the naked woman, who instantly felt its weight. "Well, this is very heavy," said the naked woman. The elaborate woman nodded. "The wearer of that gown must always look beautiful, must always act charming, must remain still and maintain beauty for her husband. She must constantly display her husband's wealth, no matter what its encumbrance. She must not lose her figure nor grow old. She must put up with her husband's temperament, appetites, and decisions." "Ooh, I do not want this dress," said the naked woman. "Here, take it back." But instead, the elaborate woman threw the dress in a heap by the side of the road. She sat down next to the naked woman. There was a woman in a simple gray dress who stopped her journey and went to the naked woman, saying, "Here, take my dress. See how simple it is. It takes no special care and is easy to move in." She handed the dress to the naked woman, who felt that its burden was also great. "What causes the weight of this dress?" she asked. "Thankless toil," said the simple woman. "Years of washing, scrubbing, vacuuming, diapering, cooking, chauffeuring, arguing, punishing, remembering, organizing, and catering. The wearer of that dress is forever the backbone of her home. She can never tire, get sick, leave, be alone, or cultivate her own interests. She loses her color and her youth and watches as her man's eye looks elsewhere for beauty. Here, "Take back your dress," said the naked woman. But the simple woman put her dress with the golden dress by the side of the road. She sat down next to the elaborate woman, and the two began to argue about whose garment had been the heaviest. The three women sat at the crossroads. There was a woman in a short red dress who stopped her journey and went to the naked woman. "My dress might suit you. It is easy to get in and out of and is very soft and alluring here." She handed the dress to the naked woman. "Don't be deceived," said the sensuous woman. "It too is heavy laden." "Why?" asked the naked woman. "The wearer of this dress must bear the burden of frigid wives. She must always be available for the sexual demands of men. She is the keeper of lies and deceits and must endure the hate of women who do not like what she does, but wish they had her power. The woman who wears this dress must open her legs to feed herself, to clothe herself, to house herself, and to care for any misbegotten offspring. She must always be soft and sensuous, bold and enterprising, calculating and owned. She lives with the knowledge that she must always welcome men who never stay." "This dress will not do either," said the naked woman. "Take it back." But the sensuous woman tossed the red dress among the others at the side of the road and sat down next to the simple woman. She joined in the argument that had not let up. There was a woman in a long black habit who stopped her journey and went to the naked woman. "My child," she said, "you are naked. Let me clothe you. Here, take my habit. It is warm and safe." "Safe?" questioned the naked woman. "Its weight is very great." "Yes," said the holy woman. "It holds the secrets of 100,000 souls. One must be very strong to wear it, but must show that strength in silence and servitude. The wearer of this habit must understand birth, but never bear. Must understand the cravings of the flesh, but never experience them. Must understand the waves of the world, but never be part of them. The woman who wears this must sacrifice herself constantly for the needs of others and never fill her own. She must punish herself for thoughts and longings that extend beyond the confines of cloistered walls. "I am neither cold nor fearful," said the naked woman. "Take back your habit." But the holy woman placed the habit with the other dresses at the roadside and sat, and then entered into the argument that continued between the elaborate woman, the simple woman, and the sensuous woman. There was a woman in a gray suit who stopped her journey and went to the naked woman saying, "Here, this tweed would look smart on you. Its lines are professionally tailored to give a serious appearance." She handed the suit to the naked woman. "Now why does this garment carry so much weight?" she asked. "Don't be fooled by its professional appearance. The wearer of this suit must live in the sterile world, must never be part of any of the worlds you have seen so far. This woman must never be beautiful and artistic, for that would distract people from the business at hand. She must never bear children or have any relationship that would slow her progress to the top of the field. She must never be sensuous, for she would then be the mark of wolves who would find any way to destroy her and her power. She must also endure being mocked as a dyke by those who fail to understand the purposes behind her sexlessness. She must never be holy, for the world of the spirit weakens the power of the world of the rational. It is seen as foolishness and gets in the way of advancement with its silly notions of ethics and morality. So the wearer of the dress must remain closed like a prison against all outside forces that would drain her of her power. "Your world is frightening," said the naked woman. "Take back your suit." But the professional woman tossed her suit among the other garments, sat and joined in the argument, insisting that all of the other garments, hers, had been the heaviest. The woman argued beside the naked woman far into the night. At some point, their argument changed from self-pity to blame upon the other. As each experienced the pointed finger of the others, she began to see that there were things about her dress that were worthy and good. There were things that each was not ashamed of or encumbered by. I know how to enjoy my body, to feel the pleasure of physical love, said the sensuous woman. Oh, teach me that, said the holy woman, and I will teach you the wonder of the quest for union with God. I know how to organize a large business and make it run smoothly, and how to handle many things in the face of emergency, said the professional woman. Oh, teach me, said the elaborate woman, and I will teach you how to make yourself beautiful so that you can enjoy the appearance of your body. Teach me my attraction also, said the simple woman, and I will teach you how to bear and love a child. New life sprang up among the women, and they fashioned for themselves garments out of the clothing that had piled at the side of the road, sharing parts of each dress and creating a masterpiece that fit each woman in their own unique way. There are many lessons to this parable, one of which I would like to elaborate upon, and that is the unique beauty of each role we play in our lives. When we stop comparing ourselves with others, we allow ourselves to open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts and celebrate women of all sizes, shapes, colors, styles, sexuality, and professions. In this, we all win. We begin to elevate other women. We love on them and help them see their own greatness. No longer is it necessary to compare yourself with others in the form of, am I good enough, fit enough, smart enough, 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 enough? Instead, why not let their greatness be a reminder to you of your greatness? I have a friend who makes me laugh, like nonstop laughing. She's hilarious, and I absolutely love that about her. I'm also envious of that quality within her, and probably at times felt jealous, but the problem with jealousy is that it shuts us down to other people's greatness. Instead, envy helps us see that they may have a quality that we also want in ourselves. And what I realized in her is that I wanted more lightness and more humor in my own life, because I'll be the first to admit, sometimes I can just be too damn serious. And so this friend helps remind me that there is lightness in the world, and it can be expressed through laughter and playfulness. And I realized that I wanted more of that in my life. And wouldn't it feel empowering simply to enjoy witnessing other women's greatness and then say, I want more of that, because it would make me feel great. It would light me up. It would light up my life. In fact, that reminds me of, do you remember the movie When Harry Met Sally? And the part where the other woman, when Sally's going crazy at the table in the restaurant, and the other woman says out loud, I'll have what she's having. That's become a icon for me, this short little sentence that reminds me of, I love that quality in this woman that I'm seeing, and I want more of that. So what if you all just out loud declared, I'll have what she's having, and then let yourself go out and get it. Surround yourself with more people and events and places and things that help bring that quality out in you. Not because you're not already great, but because adapting to and absorbing this quality might even make you greater and help you stop longing for a quality or a characteristic that you've been wanting to have a little more of. It's time to stop longing and go for greater. So I have a fun little exercise for you if this is something you would like to explore more in your life. It has four very simple steps. The first one, make a list of 10 women in your life. If you don't have 10, go ahead and make 7. Or add some acquaintances. They don't have to be people that are close, women that are close in your life. Number two, write down 3 to 5 qualities that you adore about each of these women. Number three, put a star next to those qualities that you secretly, or not so secretly, want more of for yourself. And it's quite possible that you've never admitted this to yourself, that you want some of that within you that you see in this other person. Now, there's something called the near enemy. In Buddhist tradition, they talk about something that we want in our lives that can actually be swayed into the negative. And that's what we call the near enemy. So the near enemy here is falling back into, well, now I'm comparing myself with others and not feeling good enough. That's not where I'm asking you to go. I'm asking you to celebrate this other woman's greatness in one of their qualities and being really truthful and honest in yourself, saying, yeah, you know what? I want more of that too. So don't let yourself fall into the near enemy. Instead, focus on allowing yourself to be inspired by another woman's greatness and then building it up within yourself. Number four, decide which of these that you starred that you want to bring into your life right now. And then think about how you can do that. Literally put it into action. For example, if I want more humor in my life, I could watch more funny movies. Maybe I'm going to stop watching heavy, serious movies and start watching more Jimmy Fallon and some of the funny talk shows, some of the comedies, When Harry Met Sally, and some of those, and attaching to the comedy, letting myself laugh out loud. If you want to be more athletic, consider joining a group of athletic people or sign up for a 5K, get a membership at a gym, start hanging around people who are more athletic, and let others help you fuel that own inner trait that you're trying to build. See, together we are greater. By seeing it in other people and then embracing it within ourselves, we become all that we really want to be. Together, we're family. We're like sisters from another mister. So today, I want to close out our snippets of inspiration with a song that always lights me up and reminds me of my connection with all of my sisters out there and how we're all family. And because of that, we're actually better. So this is Jill of Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. Enjoy this song, We Are Family by the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to JillMSommers.com. That's JillMSommers.com for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.